Well, hello, everybody. Today I'm just going to talk a little bit about the discouragement I feel, not only as a prepper, but as an American. I'm sure some of my foreign listeners will listen to this and go, yeah, we've been there for 100 years, buddy. Sorry to hear it. So stay tuned and we'll get into that.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
So like I said, I wanted to discuss some of the issues going on, and it kind of has to do with prepping. Like all things political and legal, they always seem to be tied to why we prep, but they're not prepping issues per se. I read some articles the other day on some of the people that are in jail right now for the Oregon protest, and the article was pretty good. They were referencing almost 600 emails between the governor, Kate Brown, I think is her name, Judge Grasty, the sheriff, a bunch of aides, and some people, even all the way up to Valerie Jarrett. And I thought, isn't it funny that these people had, I don't know, it seems like 3-4 different meetings, all these people involved, chatting back and forth, worrying about imagery and spinning the story to where they could get the public opinion back on their side because they felt they were losing. You know, basically the argument on property and land ownership and land management as far as the state and county are concerned. So they had plenty of meetings and communications, but none with the protesters, none with the Bundys, none with the militias. And from the very start, it was the judge and the town and the sheriff that shut down the school and the courthouse, because they were so afraid of these armed militia people. And meanwhile, the FBI guys showed up with guns and rifles pointing it at the militia guys. But they're the ones that caused the problem with the community by shutting down the schools and closing roads. Because the protesters can't shut down a road. So all these inconveniences, like closing the school, the protesters can't close the school. The protesters can't lock up the courthouse and say that we can't have meetings here. That was all done by the county and the governor. Yet they were worried about it. And so, first of all, they went in there after the protesters showed up and stopped them from having their meetings in town and all that. And that's why they ended up at the refuge, because they wanted to have their protest in town with the people in the town, the community. But the sheriff and the judge and law enforcement said, no, you can't do that. You're scaring people. And then they turn around and start writing the governor and other people saying, we've got to do something about this. We had to shut down the schools for public safety and we had to do this. So what they did is created a problem and then blamed that problem on the protesters. And then they started getting people higher up involved by saying, well, here's all the things we've had to do, because these people forced us to shut down the schools and the courthouse and all that. And then they talked amongst themselves as if these protesters were going to show up at a community meeting armed and pointing guns at the people. Now, most of the people in the community have said on record that they felt more intimidated by the state government and the local government than ever they felt by the protesters. But then while they're talking amongst themselves in texts and emails, it's like, well, they better not show up with guns. And so it seemed like a bunch of whiny little school kids building a big case of paranoia and then projecting it back onto the community and their higher ups. Now, some of these emails were pretty telling and they're pretty damning of themselves, but it just seemed like they kept talking about how they want this to be peacefully resolved and the public safety. Meanwhile, in these, I would say it started January 1st or so, and actually they were talking about coming back from vacation from the holidays. So even before that, when this whole thing started up into gear, and yet they could never talk to the protesters themselves. Now, granted, they didn't like the Bundys because the Bundys got the federal boys to blink at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada. But this was a separate issue. So then they tried to make it like the Bundys were stirring up problems to overthrow the government. And then they made things appear that way by shutting down the school and shutting down roads and shutting down the courthouses and stopping all these public meetings. And then they could turn around to their superiors and go, look, we had to do all this because these crazy people. And, you know, it's that Bundy guy. He's the one from Nevada. He's trying to overthrow our local government. When all they were doing was trying to bring an issue to light with the community and say, look, these people, the Hammonds, they're part of your community. You know them. You went to school with them. You need to look and see some of the real facts, you know, of what really happened. And so it had nothing to do with the Bundys. It was just the Bundys were trying to get organized because they had already had to do that once before. So it was annoying to see all these people for 2-3 weeks talking about their vacations and, oh, I'm going to take the day off because I don't feel good. Meanwhile, these people fighting for freedom and liberty are at least trying to bring a little attention to the fact that property rights are being violated in this county. They've got time to just go, oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to take a few days off. Well, maybe while you're laying there sick in bed, you could actually pick up the phone and call one of these protesters. And maybe in a moment of not being on your high horse because of your health, you might find something out by talking to them that they're not really violent protesters. They're not Al-Qaeda terrorists. They're just people going, hey, our land is being stolen. Don't you care? But no, they would rather sit there and chat amongst themselves going, well, I'm going to take a few days off because I don't feel good. Oh, I'm going on vacation, but I'll be back on Monday. Must be nice. And meanwhile, they're stirring this pot of discontent. And then anytime somebody would talk to them about it, they'd go, well, no comment. And there's even some emails where they talk about, don't tell the press anything. You know, if they want to get a hold of me, they can find my number. And it just seemed to be pretty deceitful on a county level, all the way up to the governor's office. Now, there's a lot of facts in the case now that are starting to come out that I'm not going to get into. But, you know, there were some connections with all these interlacing people. And that's something for the people of that community and that county and even that state to figure it out, because that's their problem. I can see that, you know, the way they voted in the primaries, that, you know, they went more for an outsider, someone not into the D.C. politics and stuff. So there's some resentment going on there amongst the voters. But it's their local issue. And they need to get it resolved. But what bothered me the most was, you know, reading through these emails, I almost felt like, you know, am I going to get in trouble just because I'm trying to learn something here about what went on? Now, I do it just so I can learn more information, so I can have a little bit better of a podcast and some posts. But it's not to, you know, uncover any corruption, because you don't have to uncover it these days. It's just laying right out there in the open. I guess what really bothered me was there's really no hope in hell, because these meetings were all going on in behind closed doors, really. Emails and texting back and forth from the governor to her aide and, you know, to Judge Grasty and the sheriff, and back and forth and back and forth, and to the FBI and the command center and the OEM and all these acronyms and initials going on. And yet none of them would text the Bundys and go, hey, what is it that you want to do here? Let's get this out in the open and see if we can figure it out. Now, most people that actually gave a shit about their county and their state would think that they would want to actually go meet them and go, what's going on here? What is your problem? And what is it that you're trying to do and say here? And that would have been something for the governor to do. But no, they wanted to all talk amongst themselves. And so it kind of stinks to high heaven. And like I say, I'm not trying to point fingers with anybody. Maybe it was just a lot of scared people in government that might have had some dirty laundry hanging out there, and they were too busy getting their laundry off the clothesline. And maybe that laundry is maybe dirty, but it's not criminal or nothing, but they were so busy trying to just maybe cover their butts that they neglected to actually care about what's happening in the community. And maybe closer in the community, like the sheriff and the judge and maybe the mayor and some of them people, maybe they had some dirty laundry. Like I say, it might not be such dirty laundry that they wouldn't want it out in the open, but maybe they're just, you know, maybe they did something stupid and they don't want to have that found out. You know, nobody wants to know that, you know, someone else knows that they picked their nose in public or something like that. You know, it could be something so innocuous as that. But meanwhile, as all this is going on, they're building and building this big narrative and getting the FBI involved and tactical teams and, you know, going to the federal government and talking to the Department of Justice saying, hey, we got a lot of man hours being spent here. We need some help, you know, and then that got the FBI and some other groups involved. Now, meanwhile, you know, everyone knows if you even watch just the shitty news or, you know, read some articles that a lot of that land has a lot of uranium on it, which is a very valuable mineral. Like the state of Nevada loses $18 billion a year to the Department of Interior because the BLM and Department of Interior have taken a lot of their land and now they do the mining. So $18 billion a year is funneled out of Nevada that goes to the Department of the Interior. And so it kind of forces that state to go hat in hand to the federal government going, hey, we need some resources. Hey, we need to build a school. Hey, we need some sidewalks. And so it forces these states to always go begging back to the federal government for money. And then the federal government can go, well, what are you going to do for us? You know, you guys are always mooching off of us. Knock it off. And when you really think about it, you go, well, wait a minute. We'd have our own damn money if you weren't so busy stealing all our land. Well, the same thing holds true in Oregon. And in that county used to be one of the wealthiest counties in the state when ranching was booming and stuff. Well, the Hammond Ranch has a lot of uranium mines on it. And so I guess, what is it? The Department of the Interior is so busy stealing that land so they can get that money once again. And then it will force the state, which we saw in this issue, where these people are emailing the Department of Justice saying, hey, we're getting stretched pretty thin here. We need some more resources. Whereas they would have that money. So why aren't they allowing the Hammonds, instead of just going, you know, hey, this cattle ranching thing isn't paying off too good, why don't you work some deals here with some of these mining companies and mine for uranium on your land, and then all the grazing land, we're going to lease it out to these uranium mines also, because they can mine and you can ranch at the same time. Cows don't mind walking around a bulldozer to eat some grass. But no, for some reason, these state officials would rather what? Give their land to the feds, to where the feds get all the money? Is it really like this, the bully taking your lunch money? Or is it Munchausen by proxy, to where they've been, you know, hijacked and held for ransom so long that these state officials are afraid to, or they actually even love the federal government stealing all the state's money? I mean, these governors and these mayors and these sheriffs swear an oath to uphold their citizens' rights. Well, when that state became a state, that land went to the state. It was a territory, and then it became a state. And according to the Enabling Acts, if you read them, you'll see that that land was basically deeded, granted, given, however you want to look at it, to the state and the citizens therein. For that very purpose, to log, to mine, to ranch. So then the state has an economy. It has resources that it can pull from the ground, quite literally, and fund the state operations to build schools, to build hospitals, to build roads. And so it would be far better for the leaders of that state to be on the side of the Bundys going, hey, you know, they don't have to come out openly and, you know, pretty much bite the hand that feeds them, which is the federal government these days. But they sure as heck could have, you know, picked up the phone and called one of these protesters and going, hey, let's have a meeting. Let's chat. Let's talk. What's going on? What can we do? Now, some of the other county sheriffs were actually willing to help the Bundys, and there was some of that talk going on in the emails, you know, about, well, we got to stop this before they go over to that county because that county doesn't lean as far to the wrong side as, you know, where we have it right now. So let's stop them from going to another county to where maybe there's more sympathy toward their argument. So without saying the stupid, you know, conspiracy word, there was a lot going on in those emails to where you're like, why are these people doing this? They're elected officials. And if nothing else, even if they're greedy, dirty, corrupt politicians, wouldn't they rather have that money in their state? Because really, once the state is wealthy and the politicians are representing their districts and their state, they have a lot more power because everyone in the state loves them. And you don't really need to go to Washington with hat in hand for pork when you got all of the pork laying on the ground and your state is rich. So I don't know if they're inept or if they are that corrupt or bought and paid for. I don't know what it is, but you know, you're looking at this election thinking, are these people hand-selected to go in there and undermine the state for the BLM, for the Department of the Interior, for Fish and Wildlife? Because these agencies, if you look at their financials, even though they're always going to the federal government for more money, are making billions, just billions. And that's not off of people camping and fishing. You can tell, you know, because they don't give a damn if we ever get to camp, fish, or use those roads, you know, that they're closing down constantly for, you know, we the people, because it's our land. No, they're shutting it down in the name of environment and birds and habitats. Meanwhile, they're mining it and making all this money. Where's the money going? I mean, what? I mean, yeah, it goes to the federal government, and then the state can go to the federal government and go, hey, we need to build a hospital. And they go, okay, here's some money. You know, kind of like a kid, you know, bringing 90% of the income home for dad, and then dad just puts all the money in his pocket, and then the kid goes, hey, I need a new bike. And he's like, oh my God, can't you just stop whining about all this stuff you need? Here's 10 bucks. That's exactly what it's like. All the money is being siphoned out of the states and these counties, and then the county has to go to the state, and then the state has to go to the feds, and then therefore there's a little bit of, well, we'll do this for you if you do that for us. And once they get past that, I don't know if it's a curve or a break-even point, but once the federal government is sucking enough money out of the state, then the state has to turn around, go back to the feds and go, hey, we need a little bit more of that back so we can do this, that, or the other thing. And then the feds can sit there and go, well, no, not unless you give us more land. And now you're going past that point. You're losing more and more each time. And then eventually they have total control. It's the abused wife. I mean, you know, you don't handle it the first time. The second time's going to be worse. The third time's going to even be worse. So I, for one, am quite sick of this. But I don't know. I'm going to take a break and get my head screwed on straight here and play one of my commercials for Doomsday Depot. So I'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need, and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm kind of discouraged because as I'm reading these emails, I just thought, you know, there's a lot more evil out there than even I ever thought. I mean, we all know there's evil people out there and they're messed up and they're got their own damn agenda and stuff. But, you know, when they pulled the trigger on Lavoie Finicum, and if you really look at that, I mean, the man was right-handed. So right now their spin is that he was reaching for a gun. Well, he was reaching to his left side with his right hand. Now, every picture you see of Lavoie Finicum, he carried his pistol on his right side because, duh, he was right-handed. So why would he be reaching for a pistol on his left side? And all the witnesses say that they weren't armed going to that meeting because they were going to a meeting to meet with the sheriff at the other county. Hello? So it had gotten out of hand. Well, it's just no big deal, you know, pull the guy over, arrest him, cuff him and stuff him or whatever, do your Jedi mind tricks. But no, you know, they killed the guy. And I look at it and go, you know, I got 9 grandchildren and you know, it's like, who the hell cares? You know, this is going on. It's been going on for hundreds of years. I'm not pointing at this one situation in Oregon to say, oh, look over here. Here, you know, you uncover that rock and America will be great again. Yahoo. No, it's not going to work that way because it's just not there. That was just one that the cameras were on at that time. It happens all the time, and it happens on big levels and little levels and sneaky little deals. You know, in the town I live in, there was something that went on, and, you know, the people involved were, you know, I'm not even going to get into it, but they're, you know, they're definitely a little more authority than I have. And the whole damn thing gets swept under the rug and, you know, misdirection. And now all of a sudden the witnesses aren't even going to talk about it. And it's just like, oh, who cares anymore? And so I care, but then do I really? I mean, no, not that much. You know, everyone that was involved in that Oregon protest, down to the guy that was live streaming video, is in federal custody right now. And I've read some derogatory letters about him filing for a ex parte, whatever motion that is. And everyone's calling him a traitor to the Bundys and an informant and this and that. And it's like, well, you know what? All you people that write those articles about this poor guy, have you spent the last month in federal custody with the entire weight of the federal government setting on your chest? You know, so before you write an article talking about this poor guy that was the only reason he was a part of it was because he was there filming it and streaming it live, trying to get the word out, because Fox and NBC and CBS, they weren't talking about it at all because they are the corrupt bastards. In fact, I have less respect for them than the politicians that perpetrated this thing, because at least I understand them. The media, I don't, because they'll make money one way or the other. So they're just a bunch of cowards. So this guy is just filming. That's it. You know, he's about as much of a part of it as if you showed up at a rally and just went, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden you're in jail because you took a picture. And so you look at it and you know, now they're calling him a traitor and stuff. It's like, first of all, how can he betray them? He wasn't part of it. There was no big scheme, nothing. So they weren't trying to overthrow the government. So he can't testify for or against them because nothing happened. No one did shit other than a redress of issues. So how's he going to rat on the Bundys? He can't. That's just stupid. So now they're starting to spin him because, you know, that one thing, because he's filed for ex parte, which, you know, I tried to figure out what that meant. And it still does. It's clear as mud. You know, and I'm sure his lawyer just said, well, if we do this, then maybe we can protect some of your records and your videos and stuff. So, but here it is. He's off air. He's, you know, built a big internet following. He made his money off of YouTube, like many people do. And now it's pretty well shut down. I mean, if he's not there, he's the star of the show. I mean, you know, the David Chappelle show used to be funny as shit until he vanished. And now, well, you know, it's not that funny because it's not on the air. So you don't watch it. So it's, you know, all of the people are now starting to spin it and turn it into something it was. And it was just a bunch of ranchers that were pissed off and said, look over here. And unfortunately, they looked in the wrong direction. And the federal mafia just went, you looking at me? And boom, they're all disappeared. And like I said in the beginning, I'm sure a lot of foreign listeners listen to this and go, oh, dude, that isn't corruption. That's a walk in the park. You should live where I live. But, you know, it's, and if that's true, great. Let me know, because I just see some of the corruption going on in Europe and Canada and Australia and everything, where you guys have lost your gun rights and everything, which, not that you ever had them, but yes, you did. See, according to your constitution, 1,000 years ago and 500 years ago, you had a right to self-defense. I mean, that law that was put in our constitution dates back to before the Magna Carta. So you guys have lost too. So, you know, you just look at it and then you go, okay, well then what's the overall arching, you know, thing? It's either something so big like the devil or something like that, or it's just a big mind screw job for generations by wealthy people that just keep the ball rolling, just no different than a church. You know, you keep passing on your beliefs and you start out in a one room church and now you're a big, giant, ginormous church for, you know, the last 100 years. Well, that's not a conspiracy, but it's definitely an ongoing thing that goes from generation to generation. So maybe there's corrupt people out there. Well, I'm not even going to say maybe, because, you know, the Bible and common sense and any reasonable thinking person would sit there and go, yep, yeah, there's corruption out there. So what's the point? You know, if you're a prepper, you think, well, okay, I'm not going to prep for this one thing, but I'm going to be prepared for whatever happens, kind of like I do. Well, what does it matter? How are you going to go bug out if they've stole your land? If every step you take, you're beholden to a federal government or whatever you want to call them. I don't care. You can call them the Illuminati or the Skull and Bones. Who cares? It doesn't matter, because it's not yours. Where are you going to go hide? You literally would have to go hide under a rock for the rest of your life, because as soon as you come out of ground, they're going to see you and arrest you because you're on the king's land eating the king's squirrels, and you're going to go to prison just like those people did there. And no one seems to give a shit anymore. And then when you do, you end up like them. You either end up with a bullet in your back, like Lavoie Finnegan, or you end up in federal custody until they can just ruin you and take all your land anyway. So I don't know. I mean, people say, well, you got to pick a hill you're going to die on. It's like, no, I really don't. I mean, I'm going to die. And if it's going to be on a hill, fine. But I'm not going to pick it. So I'm really discouraged because, you know, maybe it was a come to Jesus moment, reading the level of spin, self-serving corruption from people that swore an oath to the Constitution, which is really just words on a piece of paper. Don't get confused there. It's not like some kind of magic invisible chain that holds them down. No, it's just a piece of paper. And, you know, it's like your marriage license. You know, you swore an oath to uphold, to be faithful to your spouse. That doesn't mean you can't go around and bang somebody else now, does it? Because if you don't get caught, who cares? Because there's no morality left in the world. So I'm sure it's a big conspiracy out there somewhere, whoever, you know. I guess the big thing is, it's like, what do we do about it? Well, the Bundys proved there's nothing you can do about it. People that have tried to shine a light on it are now in jail. Their program's been ruined. Their reputation's being slandered and destroyed, all while they sit in a cell and can't even defend themselves, which is totally against the Constitution. If you go through that Bundy thing in Oregon one at a time, I mean, your First Amendment right to freedom of speech, well, that was squished. Right to bear arms, well, that was the reason they were all in a tizzy there, all these county people emailing each other. It's like, oh my God, they got guns. It's like, holy shit, they eat food and breathe air. We got to stop this. And then, you know, and you could just go down all of the your rights, whatever you want to call them, dopey things on a piece of paper. You know, they were removed. You know, a right to a speedy trial, not. How about habeas corpus? Not. Overruled. Shut up, Hick. You know, who are you to talk to me about the Constitution? I'm a judge. You come to judge. So I don't know. Maybe I'll turn my podcast into a hiker's cast. You know, something innocuous that no one cares about. Just, you know, let's just go hiking, pick a flower, be in tune with nature, you know, eat plants and not meat, because animals have rights too, because that's where it's all going. That's where the world's going. You know, they're telling us that global warming is a fact, even though every one of the scientists that signed on to that originally have backed out of it and said, this is just a bunch of bullshit. Our models were wrong. Doesn't matter anymore. They're going to carbon tax you, which is redistribution of wealth. They're going to bankrupt one country at a time, just like they've done throughout history. And eventually, whoever's in charge of this little Mickey Mouse game will own all the land again. They will own the world. It's like King of the Hill for billions of bazillionaires. I mean, some of these people, $1 billion would be chump change to them. I'm sure there's people and families out there that got trillions of dollars. So you're not going to compete. We're just the roaches in their house that they have a hard time exterminating. That's all it is to them. You know, we're living on their planet, crawling around on it, a bunch of leeches just sucking the natural resources out of their precious backyard, which is called Earth. And all we can do is maybe hide when the lights come on, and maybe we'll stay alive another generation or two. So I would like to be more upbeat, but you know what? I'm not feeling the upbeatness of the whole damn thing. I mean, you look at Trump. Everyone hates Trump. From 5 or 6 countries now that aren't even part of our way of life. So screw China, Mexico, and all these losers. And then you got the party he's a member of. They made him sign a blood oath, basically, that he wouldn't run as an independent. And now that he's doing so well in their party, they're trying to cast him off, kind of like a bunch of bugs fell on him on their precious $5,000 suit. And they're just trying to brush it off. It's like, oh, get it off. And so everyone hates Trump. So that means to me, I like the guy because everyone hates him. Then maybe he's saying something that's got everybody pissed off. You know, and then people are like, oh, no, Cruz, you know, which is all part of the Republican Party's MO. You know, they want Cruz to get a nomination because they know the media will shred him with his birther issue. And whether it's true or not, it's not going to matter. It'll drag his candidacy down during the right time of the election, kind of like that November surprise or whatever. Surprise, motherfucker, you're not an American citizen. And while he's trying to maybe prove he is, maybe he's trying to prove that he was born in Alabama, it's not going to matter because the Democrats are going to win, which are talking socialism, which is dominance and control. So you think, well, why would the Republicans do that? Because they all eat at the same table. That's my wife's side of the family, and this is my side of the family. We're all going to eat your babies. It doesn't matter. They're just called them, and we're called us. So I would like to believe that there was some hope. You know, we could all rise up, one voice, united, and elect somebody that'll save America. Right. That's so cool. That would be awesome. Right up until you know, your alarm went off and you smelled the coffee and you got out of bed, because it would just be a dream, because it's not going to happen. You know, they got control of the media and the money and the education system. So maybe that's why cartoons always had a superhero. Because it took one person to come flying in from another planet that didn't buy into the bullshit, that would shake the shit out of the earth, and all the bad guys would go flying off of it, and then all that was left were the good people, which would be awesome. But it's not going to happen now, is it? So we're kind of doomed. You know, this is doomsday, I guess, you know, that's been running for hundreds of years. I mean, I'm sure that these families that have gone back, you know, they funded World War I. They funded the Revolutionary War. And these families are entrenched and ingrained. They probably hated the Constitution being ratified. And the only reason it slipped under the wire is because they didn't have the internet back then, and they couldn't keep an eye on them, what was really going on. You know, so that's the only way that slipped through their grubby little hands. So it managed to, you know, explode into something really great and become America. And for since the beginning, they've been trying to destroy it. And I think now that they're pretty well on their way. So what are we going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. What am I going to do about it? Quit talking about it, because it really kind of sickens me on a visceral level. And quite frankly, there's nothing to do about it. All you listeners could write me and we could all get on a telephone call right now and say, what are we going to do about it? And at the end of a 15-hour conversation, we wouldn't be able to change anything. We would change our perception and the way we look at life. And we might vote a little better, or we might act or be prepared a little more. But it's not going to change the outcome. And it's not that it's fate. It's just the plan, not set up by God and Satan or whoever you want to believe in. It's just these families have amassed enough money now that they can make their plan real. Just like you get enough money and you're going to build a house. Well, once the construction starts, at the end of the day, there will be a house sitting there. It's just the way it works out. So you're not going to change it. You know, I got people I know that have run for office and that are in, you know, positions in the county and stuff. And they'll tell me, you can't get nothing done. You talk to them about it, and then in step the lawyers and go, you can't do this because of that. You can't do that because of that over there. And that over there gets you sued for this. And then pretty soon everyone's like, well, we can't afford to be sued because we have no money. Oh, why not? Well, because of all of our ranch and mines have been shut down, and now there's plenty of money going out in them big trucks just loaded with money, but we don't have any, so we can't afford a lawsuit. So we might as well just, cower and say, forget it. And so they can't get nothing done. You know, they try, but it doesn't happen. So I guess I'm going to wrap this up just, I wanted to vent a little bit because I think it's, I mean, I don't have a huge audience, but I think it's fair to you to let you know that I just got really discouraged. You know, maybe it was just seeing it. You know, we all like watching a train wreck, but once you see the carnage, it's just something you can't unsee, and it'll stick with you. And so maybe it was seeing how the sausage was made in that one little slice of reality that happened in Oregon, to where it's like, you know, I never wanted to see how the sausage was made in Washington, but I just never thought they were poisoning it while we weren't looking. And so it was kind of a wake up to me. And so quite frankly, you know, I'll probably ramble a little bit about politics now and then, but I'm not going to get into it like it's going to change anything, because it's, you know, who knows? You know, maybe they'll put a bullet in my damn head now because I read those emails. Not like I could do anything about it, because, I mean, you know, I'm one dopey guy up against a federal government. It's not going to matter. And why put yourself out there as an American? Now I'm talking about you guys, not me. Why would you put yourself out there when 90% of the American population is asleep? And if you wake them up, who's going to get smacked when they jump out of bed and go, what? You, because you're standing right there trying to wake them up. So let them sleep. Let them sleep happily through whatever happens, kind of like in the Matrix, in their little cocoon there, being fed food and oxygen. And, you know, meanwhile, all their life is being sucked out of them and they're given a fake reality to look at. And as long as they're happy, why pull them out of the Matrix? I mean, they're just going to be pissed, because it was way better in there. So I guess it would be fair for me to talk about maybe states' rights, because that's kind of one of my issues, is just a sovereign state and a sovereign people. But, that, you know, maybe not, because, I mean, that's what Bundys were talking about, and look at them, they're all sitting in jail, so maybe I won't talk about that. I guess it's still safe to talk about camping and learning to hike and camp and spending your energy on productive things that give you a certain skill set and ability, to where if you have to leave, not because the world's ending, because when that happens, we're all screwed. But, you know, if there's an ice storm or a flood or something that forces you out of your home, or if you're with your family on vacation somewhere out in the middle of nowhere because you went on a safari or whatever the hell it is, and you end up, you know, lost out in the middle of the savannah or something, then maybe you'd have a hope in hell of surviving, which would be awesome, you know. I watched this really screwed up movie last night about this couple that goes camping. I think it was called Outback or just whatever. I mean, it was in America here, but, you know, they're out in bear country and they get lost, which, you know, can happen. And then, you know, they're just kind of wandering around for 2 or 3 days. And then, you know, they come across a rather large bear. So to shorten the story, you know, the guy gets eaten by this bear pretty gruesomely. And they had some bear spray, which didn't seem to help one bit. I think a good shotgun with some 50 caliber slugs would have stopped that bear. And you're watching it going, that's a really gruesome ending to a camp trip there. You know, and she makes it out alive, but the bear chases her for a day or so. She ends up breaking her leg, falling off of a waterfall, trying to climb down it because the bear is like trying to eat her now. And, you know, she finally ends up getting rescued, or rescuing herself by finding a canoe. And I didn't watch the whole movie. It might have even been her canoe, because the way they showed it in the movie, it was like, da-da. So I was supposed to assume that maybe that's where they left it when they'd got lost. And so, you know, she finally makes it back to the pier, and someone sees her and lives miserably ever after. So knowing those skills and how to protect yourself, and I would say carrying a large caliber gun for bears and a very wicked knife, not for survival knife, but I mean a pokey, stabby, wicked knife for animals that might want to jump on you. I mean, you're going to get really hurt, but at least you can poke some holes in them. So, you know, that was a messed up movie. And I thought, you know, if these people would have had a little bit more skills, I mean, they were good at camping and hiking. They just got turned around. But, you know, they didn't have guns and protection and a weapon other than some dopey bear spray and a flare. Well, the bear didn't care, and he ate him. And that's reality. You know, you get eaten sometimes by bears and mountain lions. So, you know, learning some things like that. So I'll go on talking about, you know, that kind of stuff and being prepared. I guess this is pretty much just my confession of being disoriented, confused, and saddened and sickened by what I saw by reading in that article and seeing some of the emails and just going, holy crap. And so this probably won't be anyone's favorite podcast, you know, to share or anything, because it seems to be kind of a downer. It's like, dude, don't be such a downer. But if we don't look at the world, at least look at it. I'm not saying change it. If we don't look at the world as the reality it presents, if you don't look at the sky and you're so busy looking for a silver lining that you don't realize that that is a thunderstorm coming your way, then regardless, you're going to get rained on. And so I looked at it, and yep, it rained. And so it's just looking at reality and saying, what can I do about it? Nothing. I mean, unless you're the president or something like that that's listening to this, or, you know, someone with way more means than I have. You're not going to be able to change it. You can change your reality and your perception in your own mind to where maybe you can help your family be prepared if something bad happens, if there's a revolution, because maybe there's some patriots out there that aren't as defeated feeling as I am that might start something, and then all of a sudden the shit hits the fan, because I'm not factoring in the fact that there's over 200 million gun owners in America that may or may not flip out if that day were to happen. But I don't know. It's an unknown variable. So you kind of want to be ready for that. Mother Nature could step in and maybe, you know, wipe mankind off the planet with a massive solar flare or a coronal mass ejection that shuts down our grid and everything that's precious to these rich families. But the odds of that are pretty slim. They could release a bioweapon to where it turns us all into zombies like the Walking Dead. Don't see that happening, but you never know, you know. But then, see, they would have to deal with them, you know, once everyone had turned and then died. Because them zombie things, they, you know, they could be laying in the grass with their head cut off and then still bite you. So while you're walking around in your big, you know, new world that you've taken over. So I don't see that happening. And everything has residual effects in the bio world. So I don't know. I really don't. What else could they do? You know, something might happen. Probably going to be biblical, because we're not good enough at totally destroying ourselves completely without the rich people that are in charge losing everything that they've tried to acquire. I mean, you don't spend your whole family's lives for hundreds of years to acquire a planet just to blow the shit out of it. That would be like buying Tiffany's and then burning it to the ground in the process. It's like, what's the point? Well, I got a good price on it. It's not worth nothing now because it is gone.
Our online store, DoomsdayDepot.com, that's Doomsday with a Z as in Zoom, lets you zoom into products selected by a prepper for preppers. Don't get lost looking for the supplies you need. Find them and great values too at our online store. And you can always learn more at theprepperguy.com too.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine before I update this and upload it, and he had mentioned to me a very important point when I was talking to him about this frustration with the states just rolling over and basically bending over and taking it from the federal government. And he made a good point. He goes, you know, that's just socialism, where the feds or the big brother or the government controls all means of production, whether it's mining or food or textiles. It's pretty much what happened in Venezuela, and it's happened everywhere. I mean, it's not rocket science. All you got to do is go look it up and see what socialism and how it pervasively just sneaks into a country. Our country's big, so it's taken longer to sneak. But if you really think about it, when you look at it as socialism and what is happening with the federal government taking all this land and then doling back income or resources to the state and then to the people, that's plain and simple, straight up socialism. So maybe these politicians in Oregon are a little bit more corrupt than I was giving them credit for, because either they know what's going on, and that's why they're doing it, because they're socialist, or they're inept and stupid and uneducated, and then by all means, they should go back to school and learn something. But, you know, if you're going to represent the people and you're going to swear an oath to the Constitution, then you need to back off of this socialism crap. And now it kind of explains why so much people in the country love Bernie Sanders, because he comes right out and says, I am a socialist. And if you've watched Hunger Games or studied anything about Agenda 21, that's pretty much what it all is. Eventually, Big Brother, the state, I'm not talking about a state, I'm talking about the state, the federal government, whatever you want to call them, they own all the means of production. Food, transportation, media. I mean, just name something the federal government doesn't have its hands in right now. And then they put these politicians in these states and pay them good. I don't know. Bribe them? Threaten them? I really don't know. But that's what this is. It's socialism. And they can call it whatever they want. But they're stealing our land. States need to wake up and realize what is happening. And before you vote for somebody this election or next, or in your county or in your city or in your state, you might want to look at their record, because when they say they're doing this for your good, they're screwing you and they're taking your shit and they're going to leave you high and dry and they're going to be sitting there with their golden parachutes and we're all going to be screwed. It's happened in Russia. It happened in Germany. It's happened all around the world. Most recently, it happened in Venezuela. But that's what ended up happening in Argentina until they got their shit together. I don't know how else to put it other than to just say, wake up. Wake up and start studying. I mean, for Christ's sakes, we got Google it. Look up socialism. Look out the pernicious nature of socialism. And then you apply it to the people running your state or your county or your town or city. And you will see that's exactly what they're doing. They're allowing this to happen, whether it's through ineptitude or just being brain dead and dense, or they're actually that corrupt. I personally think that probably 70 to 80% of the politicians are that corrupt. You listen to the debates for the president, and most of them are talking about same old, status quo. They were in office for 8 years, and they didn't do jack shit, but feather their nest, or feather someone else's nest, or play politics with both sides of the family at the dinner table. I'm sick of it, and I don't know what to do about it. Maybe you have an idea. Let me know. Anyway, that was my final rant and thoughts on this whole subject, and not only being disheartened, but kind of pissed.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.